Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's good to have you with us here again today for another in the series of Read the Word. We welcome all of you who are with us on Blog Talk Radio, all of you who are with us on YouTube, and even our Zoomers who stop by from time to time. Isn't that something?
What?
Well, you know how technology is. It's become so abundant that now there's technology upon technology upon technology. And now the technology is in the way of the technology. And now you have to figure out, why is there technology blocking this technology when I don't even want that technology to work on my computer?
We get it.
The worst offense you can carry is offense toward technology. Because it's not even an animated object. It's not even a human. You can't even,
right.
Don't be offended at it.
Inanimate object.
And don't punch your computer or throw your cell phone up against the wall.
Good morning, everyone.
I have a friend that says, I'll try that 70, how's he call it, 70-something cell phone fix. Drive 70 and sail it out the window. Doesn't fix it, but you lost your phone, so now you go buy another one. And we showed up here tonight to read the word. Now, tonight, we got a lot of word to read, so we got to get right at it. Tonight is my favorite chapter in all of the New Testament.
Really?
You know why?
Why?
Because Jesus said, if you don't know this parable, how will you know anything? Mm-hmm. This is the most important chapter that Jesus taught. So it's Matthew chapter 8, or 13, and Luke chapter 8. It's the parable of the sower, the greatest parable of the New Testament. And he said, if you don't understand this one, you won't understand any of them. So you know what that says to me? When that finally actually broke through the gray matter and I come to the revelation of, wait, what did he just say? That means study this more than anything, because you got to get the revelation of this chapter in order to understand all of the parables of Jesus. So, are you ready?
We are ready.
Ready? Let's hold our Bible up. Say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
I receive it into my life.
I receive it into my
transforming
life.
Transforming me forever.
Transforming me forever.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Here we go. Matthew chapter 13. On the same day, what day was that? The day that Jesus' mother and brothers came to him and said, hey, Jesus, you're out of your mind. On the same day that the disciples talked about being offended, and Jesus said, a house divided can't be sand, and unpardonable sin will not be forgiven, and the tree is known by, on that day.
A lot happened that day.
Jesus always had a lot happening in his day. Mm-hmm. Jesus went out of the house, his house, and sat by the sea. He had a lake house. The great multitude gathered together to him. So they got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, I'm not trying to do that to make anybody freak out. So sooner or later, you got to get the revelation Jesus had a house. Can you imagine the Father sent you all the way from the glory and made you come to this earth, but give you a knapsack and tell you to live out in the woods? No. He had to suffer everything you and I do. That means his toilet had to get plugged. He had to call a plumber. Right? He had to suffer somebody tearing the roof off his house to get healed. So Jesus went through everything that you and I did. I've got off to a really slow start here. Read the Bible. And then he spoke many things. Now, Jesus liked to speak. Sorry. Oh, I'm not sorry, but here we go. To them in parables. And he said, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. Fell among stones. Right? But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. Out of the thorns grow better than the seed. Others fell among good ground and yielded a crop, 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He's not talking about, do you have a hat rack on each side of your head? He's talking about, pay attention in the heart. Verse 10, disciples came and said to him, Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Say it. To me it's been given to know.
To me it's been given to know.
Well, all right then. 12, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, the subject we're talking about is the word sown in the heart, in good ground. He who has seed sown in good ground in his life, he will have an abundance. He who does not have good seed sown in his heart, even what he has will be taken away. Why? Because when the wicked one comes, he takes it away. 13. Got a long ways to go, but we're going to make it. Probably need to drink a little more coffee. Give me just a coffee break, just a second. Oh. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear, and you will not understand. Seeing, you will see, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull. It's a heart problem. Their ears, and here, are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Well, Pastor, doesn't Jesus want them healed? Most certainly. Every parable comes for two reasons. To give revelation to the ones that want it, and to conceal the truth to the ones that don't want it yet. In every crowd of people, there's three kinds. Those who believe and receive. Those who say, well, sounds good, but I got to hear you again. And then number three, those that don't want it and mock you even and walk away. Verse 16, blessed are your eyes, he's talking to me, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. The parable of the sower is explained. Verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, understanding is so important, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the word by the wayside. It's packed down dirt. The seed can't get in and get any growth. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that was telling me about his potato plants. He plants them, and then all summer long, hoes the whole row up around the potato plant. So he plants them wide apart, so he has lots of dirt to pull up alongside of it. And when he pulls them out, those potatoes have grown amazing because they don't have to fight packed earth to grow.
Yeah.
And one potato plant this year produced 20 pounds of potatoes in one plant.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
See, that's what this is talking about. Wayside is where people walk. Pack it down, pack it down, pack it down, pack it down. That's a religious indoctrination that doesn't have any root in the word of God. 20. He received the word, the seed on stony places. This is he who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself. And he endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise, because of the word sown in his heart that he received joyfully, immediately he stumbles. Now he received the seed among the thorns as he who hears the word, but the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. He who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. The sad thing that happens to many people who go to church is they come to church and they've heard the word so much that they let their heart become dull of hearing. Guys, there's only 66 books. If you're 66 years old, that is one book a year, and that's all you could read all year long. Well, after a while, you know this book. But you and I are the ones that have to make a decision. I'm going to get something out of this service. Ears, open up. Eyes, see. Understanding, be flooded with enlightenment. And then you're like 23, you receive the word on good ground, and you produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed seed, good seed, in his field. Can you heat this up? But while the man slept, his enemy came, punch him in the ears, and sowed tares among the wheat, and then went his way. When the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. Servants of the owner came and said to him, Did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. And it doesn't take long in a ministry, and you can begin to see the tares that the enemy has sent amongst the good folks. The parable of the mustard seed. Verse 31, another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than all the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. The first set of verses is the parable of the sower of the seed. Then we have the parable of the wheat and the tares, bad seed, good seed. Now we have the smallest seed, a mustard seed, producing a huge tree that many people will be blessed by. And now the parable of the leaven. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid, and three measures of meal till it was all leavened. And all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Psalm 78:2. That's where you find that. Now the parable of the tares explained. Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came into them, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's Jesus. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Now God, Jesus made that parable very plain right there. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his holy angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness. Jesus said to the one group, depart from me, I never knew you, ye who practice lawlessness. And they said, we cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. And he's going to say, you who practice lawlessness. Why? Because they never knew him. They just did the work of the ministry in his name. 42. And he will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention. Make yourself listen, not just hear. 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. The parable of the pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. When he found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. It was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind of fish, which when it was full, they drew it to shore. They dragged the net to shore, a dragnet, right? And they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. You see, it's a simple process of life. Mm-hmm. Everybody understands it. And yet some people want to hang out with the weeds. You don't have to be a theologian to figure out what the weeds are. Yeah. Every man or woman that frequents the same bar often knows exactly who to stay away from in that building because they're weeds. And you ain't even a theologian. You're just a student of people. So it'll be, verse 49, it'll be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, cast them into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, have you understood all these things? And they said to him, yes, sir. He said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out his treasure, things new and old. Came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he came to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they were offended at him, because he was wiser than them. But Jesus said to them, prophets not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do mighty works there because of their unbelief. I didn't do too bad. Luke chapter 8. Got to do better. Came to pass afterward, he went through every village, city, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils. That's serious. And Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. These are Jesus' disciples. Mm-hmm. It's like we could say Brother Roger, chaplain of the Dan, a truck driver, Sister Phyllis, all of our grandma down in Mississippi. We have a grandma in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Verse 4, when a great multitude had gathered, they had come to him from every city, and he spoke by a parable. Sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. You don't have to have wayside soil, but you do have to get the rototiller. Mm-hmm. Right? 6, some fell on rocks, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. Luke only used one measure, 100-fold. He didn't say 30 or 60.
Oh.
Okay. Some fell among the thorns. Wait. And when he had said these things, he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention. Verse number 9. I wasn't saying that to my wife, just so everybody knows.
But I cursed right up and did.
But it looked up like, did he really just say that to his wife?
Made me sit right up straight and everything.
It's like my mom, she could clear her throat on the front row on the west side of the building, and I could be in the back row on the east side of the building, and I straightened up immediately when she cleared her throat, even if she just had a frog and she wasn't even looking at me. Verse 9, his disciples asked him, saying, what does this parable mean? And he said, to you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. The kingdom of heaven is built on desire. You got to want it. Jesus didn't do a miracle because it needed to be done. Jesus did a miracle because they wanted to be healed. If need was the answer for Jesus, there would be no hunger in the world. But it's not need. He wants you to want to be with him. And that's what he rewards. He rewards those who diligently seek him. And nobody can judge your diligence but you and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Nobody. That's why you don't hear me talk about stuff like that, because I will not be guilty of judging your diligence. That's not a good place to be. All right. The parable of the sower is explained. The parable, this is verse 11, is the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no roots. And they believe for a while, and in the time of temptation, they fall away. 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring fruit to maturity. No fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it, under, circle it, keep it. That's a focused person who keeps the word and bears fruit with patience. The parable of light revealed. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel and puts it under a bed, but he sets it on the lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. And Jesus isn't saying every one of your sins are going to come be found out. He's saying everything that's hidden was hidden for you, not from you. Verse 18, take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whoever has revelation, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. But it's not taken from him. You go back and it says the evil one comes and takes it. When faith begins to rise, the enemy can see it and he starts shooting fiery darts at you. And if you take that fiery dart as your own, he'll get your word. Don't do it. Tell him it's your picture. And I stand in the blood and righteousness of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he can't touch it. It's good preaching. Verse 19. His mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. And he answered and said, my mother and my brother are these who hear the word of God and do it. Say it with me. I am a doer of God's word.
I'm a doer of God's word.
Amen. 22. Happened on a certain day that he got into the boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let's go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy, but not Wheel of Fortune. That was a good one. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we're perishing. Jesus arose, rebuked the wind and the raging water. They ceased. There was a calm. But he said to them, where is your faith? In other words, why didn't you do it? And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. A demon-possessed man is healed. Verse 26, they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him with a loud voice, said, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. That's the demon speaking. That's not the man. Mm-hmm. All right? The man fell at Jesus' feet because he wanted deliverance, and he could tell Jesus was going to give it to him. 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of that man, and it often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. He broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. 30, Jesus asked him, saying, what is your name? And he said, Legion, because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. A herd of many swine were feeding there on the mountains, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man, entered the swine, and the pig had more sense than the human, and ran down and drowned immediately to get the demon out of them. 34, when those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what had happened and came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Where did they get the clothes? Don't worry about it. It's just a question I have. 36. They also who had seen it told them by what means he had been demon-possessed was healed. The whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your own house. Tell what a great thing God has done for you. What did Jesus say? I've given you a seed. Plant it in your heart. Go water it. Go tell it. And watch it produce a harvest. That's what this chapter is about. Watch. And he went his way and proclaimed through the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he lived right down the street from Jesus. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him, saying, and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman, having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians, and could not be healed by any, came from behind, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Now, she wasn't supposed to be in the street. The man that would stone her for being in the street is right there with Jesus, and his daughter is about to die, and Jesus stops on the way to his house to heal. Well, Jesus didn't stop to heal her. She came up and took a healing from him. And Jairus is the spiritual leader that can stone her for being in the street while she's bleeding. But see, he's got to operate in forgiveness and love and mercy, or he doesn't receive it for his own daughter. Everybody's having a test here. Even the disciples trying to keep everybody back. Would you all just keep back for a minute? And you know what it's like, a full day of run trying to control a crowd.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why he had 12. 45. Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, Master, the multitudes throng you and press you. And you said, who touched me? Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. And Jesus is looking at the disciples saying, learn to see the power. Learn to see past all these people you're holding back. Because that was their assignment, crowd control. 47. When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in peace. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. When Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe. And she will be made well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. All wept and mourned for her. He said, do not weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. And she was dead. But it's still called ridicule, even though she was dead. He put them all outside, took her by the hand, called them, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Now, just for the record, I just read right there with my own two eyes, 58 verses and 56. We just read 114 verses in 38 minutes.
Wow.
And preaching. And commanded my wife to straighten up and pay attention. Now, let's circle the wagons because that's what we say. Remember Jesus' ministry was to preach the good news to the poor, spiritually and physically poor, and then to set at liberty those who are bound, no matter what the bondage was. So in this parable, he's teaching them how to hear the word, put it down in your heart, keep the soil of your life in good shape. Get out the rocks. That's hard things that happen in your life. Get out the weeds. Weed the garden regularly. And till up the wayside dirt, which has been packed down through the abundance of life. And you'll know God. And you'll understand his ways.
Amen.
Amen. To him who has the word sown in his heart, producing, receives more, and he'll have an abundance. It's not hidden from you. It's hidden for you to chase after Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. We want everybody that's with us, no matter who you are, to pray this prayer. Because we want you to know our Jesus and to get yourself prepared for an eternity of relationship with the Father and all of your brothers and sisters in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Pray this prayer with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life
every day. And according to John 3.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
life. And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Put your hands out. And wait, this is where you make your declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again just for me.
And you rose again just for me.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all of the fullness of God.
With all of the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
understand the word.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Welcome to the family of God. We're glad to have you here. What you're experiencing right now is God Almighty has just come in and made you a brand new creation because you said come in. And when he comes in, his blood washes and purges every sin thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness. He chooses never to remember it another day. Then he fills you with his love and mercy, grace, and righteousness, and his Holy Spirit. And then he walks with you every day. You've been made an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. All of the light of the world just came and lived on the inside of you. And that's why somebody tonight, I can tell you're just shaking in your spirit. I can see it. Well, that's not out of fear. That's out of the power of God has just filled your life. Just filled your life. And we're glad about it. That's what we're here for. This program is a playlist on YouTube. Make sure you like, subscribe, and hit the bell. And then every single day, we add another one of these because we're reading through the Bible chronologically. If you go all the way back and start in Genesis and come through all the videos again, you're going to be a very, very solid, stable disciple because of the growth that's happened in all of us as we've gone through this in Jesus' mighty name. We're here. Remember, when you wake up in the morning, you're looking up at the ceiling, just say, Jesus, help me walk with you today. And guess what? He will help you walk with him every single day. He loves it because he wants to walk with you. And that's the answer. Now, remember this. We're here every morning, usually by about midnight, 1 o'clock. I've got this posted. And you'll be able to be here. I have a program every night, Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m., 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And we teach you how to walk with God. Shoot me an email. Tell me your name. Tell me your story. Give me a testimony. Ask me 1,000 questions. Because everyone you ask helps everybody else grow. And we'll help you see and know who Jesus is. In Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Until we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves
you.
And Jesus
is
Lord. We'll see you soon. In Jesus' mighty name. For all of our brothers and sisters in foreign countries, if you want to see this translated into your name, your language, native language, please contact me, and we're going to get this done so that you can reach people in your nation that doesn't speak English fluently. In Jesus' mighty name, we sure do love you. See you soon. Thank you.